Well, ladies, another wonderful opportunity for you to gather, connect, encourage one another, be inspired, take advantage of the opportunity. Well, we just finished our series, Words Create Worlds. How many of you enjoyed those messages over the last several weeks? It was a joy for me to study and share that truth with you. I know it encouraged and challenged me personally. And I'm looking forward to here in a couple of weeks, we're going to start another series, Followers of Jesus, Then, Now, and Forever. It's going to be like a three-part series leading up to Holy Week. So some really exciting messages ahead of us. And I'm excited about our what we call a standalone message this weekend. I've entitled it Voice Recognition Theology. You'll know more about what that means here in just a moment. But as we do here at Trinity, out of love, respect, and esteem for the reading of God's Word, please stand to your feet. And I'll be reading out of the Gospel of Matthew chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and the two brothers, James and John, and led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed so that his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter blurted out, "Lord, it's wonderful for us to be here. If you want, I'll make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But even as he spoke, a bright cloud from heaven came over them. And the voice of the cloud said, "This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. Listen to him." The disciples were terrified and fell face down on the ground. When Jesus came over and touched them, "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." And when they looked, they saw only Jesus. As they went out back down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Let's pray. God, we thank you for the precious opportunity that we have to stand out of love and respect for the reading of the Holy Scriptures. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you that it is the very Word of God. It's alive and it's powerful. And now we thank you that the entrance of your word into our hearts and lives will bring illumination to our hearts and minds. Thank you for the divine wisdom that will be deposited within us today. And thank you that we truly have ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking in our church today. We pray and ask your blessing now in the names above every name, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray and ask your continued grace and mercy for our fellow Texans who are going through a difficult time. Lord, we pray for those that have lost loved ones during this cold spell. Be with them, provide them grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Voice Recognition Theology, VRT. VRT is actually short for Voice Recognition Technology, which is becoming a ever-increasing technology in every facet of our lives, both personally and professionally. And voice recognition technology is different from speech recognition technology. Speech recognition technology simply is able to discern any voice to activate any certain technological gadget that we might have in our life. Voice recognition technology, it actually distinguishes your particular unique voice from any other voice. So for example, those of you that have a Google Smart Home Kit, it allows you to turn on the lights and the heat before you arrive at your house. It will unlock your door for you. It will monitor just about every appliance that you have in your house. Plus, it records everything that you say and gives it to the government. Wonderful technology. I remember growing up, old-fashioned record players, and we had an RCA TV. And RCA famously advertised its first record player, the Victrola. And they used a family dog with its head cocked with curiosity. And the slogan was, "The Master's Voice." You know, as Christians, it's so important for us to be able to hear and discern the Master's voice. who would have dreamed that we would be living in a world where we're actually having conversations throughout the day with artificial intelligence? The voice of Siri. This is unusual. You know the name Siri? It's a Norwegian name, and it actually means beautiful woman who will lead you to victory. I didn't know that. The British, they have their artificial intelligent voice is named Daniel. The Australians have one, and her name is Karen. And Microsoft has an alternative to Siri, and it's called Cortana. I don't even know what that means. But the power of voice recognition technology is really influencing all of our lives. So think about the power of being able to recognize the voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of Christ in our life, that we are to listen to the Master's voice. You see, friend, as Christ followers, as Christians, it's never been more essential, more important than it is now, perhaps, for us to be able to identify the voice of God, hence voice recognition theology. It allows us to recognize and authenticate God's voice in a fallen world. And at this moment in the life of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, the voice of God was visible and the truth became transparent as to who Christ was and is. This was an incredible moment. This was a very special moment, the Mount of Transfiguration. And what's astounding is that God had a handful of witnesses. Because it was at this moment that God, for the world, was going to confirm once and for all that Jesus was Messiah, that Jesus was God clothed in human flesh, that Jesus was the Son of God. And it took a special group of witnesses to be a part of this incredible moment. So on the Mount of Transfiguration, who was on that mount that day? Well, there was Jesus, there was Moses, there was Elijah. And then there was Peter, James, and John. Peter and the two brothers, James and John, sons of thunder. So a select few, they were on this Mount of Transfiguration. I don't know about you, but if I was one of the other apostles of Jesus and I didn't get this VIP pass to the Mount of Transfiguration and only Peter, James, and John, I would have had to have dealt with some unforgiveness. I'm just being honest. I would have got over it, right? Because it's whatever the Lord wants, his will, not my will. But I would have felt a little hurt. Like, why does Peter, James, I would have probably tried to sneak up on that mount, knowing me, on that Mount of Transfiguration. But God, in his wisdom, he only had five witnesses. Two from the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah. Moses represented the Pentateuch, the law of God, and was a spokesman in the Old Testament. Elijah represented all the prophets. So you had the lawgiver, you had the prophets, you had the Pentateuch, the entirety of the prophets, the entire Old Testament represented on that mountain. Then you had Peter, James, and John, who were pillars of the New Testament, the New Covenant, the church that was about to be birthed in the world. So you had five key witnesses. They were all there on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they heard the voice. They heard the voice from heaven. The voice of God that said, not this one, Moses, not this one, Elijah, not this one, Peter, not this one, James, and not this one, John, but this one. He is my beloved son. He brings me great joy. Listen to him. Listen to him. One more time. Listen to him. He is the ultimate final authority and message and voice of God to the world is Jesus Christ, because he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life to the Father, and no one gets to God except through Christ. So here's the big takeaway. This is worth you getting up this morning, getting dressed, getting in your car, and driving to church. This right here. This, what I'm about to share with you, the big takeaway in this message was worth it all. So get ready for the big takeaway. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready for the big takeaway? Go on. Are you ready for the big takeaway? Here it is. Discipleship consists of nothing more than listening to Jesus. To move forward in our faith is to listen to Jesus. to recognize his voice. There's so much within this Mount of Transfiguration moment. We could actually do an 8-week series on it. It's so filled with so much truth. It's pregnant with so much biblical, spiritual truth and theology. But the biggest takeaway for us today is this. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. So can you hear the voice of Jesus in your own life? Or is the voice of Jesus being muted? Is the voice of Jesus, are you being distracted from hearing the voice of Jesus because of the voice of culture? Or the voice of godless education? Or the voice of godless entertainment? Is it interfering with us being able to listen, to discern, to recognize, and distinguish the voice of Jesus? Listening to the voice of Jesus is serious business. You laughed a whole lot better than all the other services, so give yourself a hand. Yeah. You got it. You got it right away. If you're going to listen to Jesus, if we're going to hear and distinguish his voice in these last days, and it's so important, it's so critical, we're going to have to do at least three things. Three things. Number one, we're going to have to learn how to mute certain voices. You heard me right. If you want to hear the voice of Jesus, if you want to recognize voice recognition theology, you want to be able to recognize that's God, that's not God. That's God speaking through that song, through that book, through that blog, through that sermon, through that testimony. Yes, definitely, I hear the voice of God. I distinguish it. If you're going to be able to recognize the voice of God, the voice of your Savior, you're going to have to learn to mute certain voices. Look at Titus 1:14. Let's read this out loud together. They must stop listening to American myths and the commands of people who have turned away from the truth. So Paul was writing to Jewish people, so he said Jewish myths. There are not only Jewish myths, there are English myths and French myths and American myths and Mexican myths and Asian myths. There are so many myths, so many deceptions and lies and fabrications in this fallen world, more than you can shake a stick at. And if we want to hear the voice of God, we're going to have to, it says, stop listening to all the lies, to all the myths, to all the stuff that's being made up in our world today that's turning so many people away from the truth. In 2013, that year, hands down, was the scariest horror movie of that year. And that horror movie was called Her, starring Joaquin Phoenix. It was scarier than the Texas Chainsaw Massacre in 3D. And yet, in this horror flick called Her, there was not one single murder, and there was not one drop of blood that was shed. What made this the scariest horror movie of that year was this. It was all about a man falling in love with AI, artificial intelligence. Now, I didn't see the movie, but I saw the trailer, a couple of trailers, and I read some reviews on it. And it's an interesting movie because sometimes art imitates life, life imitates art. It's an interesting critique on human nature. In this movie, Siri is a voice that simulates a relationship. And in the movie, Her, the voice of the artificial intelligence was the actress Scarlett Johansson. And she takes on a definite personality along with emotional intelligence in this movie, to the point where this man, played by Joaquin Phoenix, he falls in love with the voice in this operating system. That's creepy, and that's scary. At a point in this movie, Samantha, the name of the virtual girlfriend, starts to be distracted by her other virtual relationships that she's beginning to have with other voices beckoning from her and calling her to other exciting options in her assigned domains as this artificial intelligence. She begins to feel, in the movie, she begins to feel boxed in, controlled in a one-dimensional relationship. She wants to explore other relationships as her bandwidth expands. It leads to the classic "It's not you, but me" moment, which shows that even artificially intelligent women can dump a guy once they get bored with them. And this guy becomes heartbroken because he fell in love with artificial intelligence. You know, in our human world, we are bombarded by lots of other voices that can distract us from the master's voice. And our singular, exclusive, solitary love and devotion to Jesus. Because that's what it means to be a Christian. It means to be a follower of Christ. It means that you hear and recognize and follow his voice. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice. My sheep recognize my voice. They are intimately acquainted and discern my voice." And that's what it means to be a disciple, to listen for Jesus, to hear his voice amidst the cacophony of competing voices that are in our world today, and to make his voice personal and to individualize this personal relationship with Christ in your own life. That means we have to mute lying voices. Now, some in here, some, know the unfortunate feeling of what it's like growing up in a home being lied to by your parents about some family secret. And it wasn't until you actually became an adult that the truth finally came out. Okay, let's give our parents the benefit of the doubt. They did the best they could with what they knew and what they felt they should or shouldn't share with you. I'm sure they didn't mean to do it intentionally. But when you discovered this family secret, it hurt a little bit. Because you're like, my entire life, I went through my entire life believing something, and now I find out that it's not true, or not knowing something that now, all this time later, I find out that it is true. Like, hello, couldn't you have shared this with me at an age-appropriate time in my life, like 11 or 12 years of age? Why did you wait until I was in my 50s to let me know this? And so you're a little hot under the collar, you know? I say that because as an adult now, physical adult, you're being lied to. You're being lied to by the nanny state, by the surrogate parent, by government, by politicians, by religious institutions and religious leaders, by cultural influencers, by big tech, by those on social media, by the thousands upon thousands of blogs that are written each and every day. You are being lied to and you don't know it. And it's not until we grow in our faith and we become mature in our faith, mature Christians, and we know how to discern and recognize the voice of God that we realize, whoa, wait a minute, you've been lying to me all this time. Maybe they meant well. Maybe they did it for your own good. But it's still deception. It's still a lie. And the sad thing is most Americans don't know that. Most the average Christian doesn't know that and is accepting the lies that are coming to us each and every day. That's why you have to mute certain voices. That's why if you go to mainstream media to get accurate information of what's happening in your country and in the world, friend, you are so far gone, it's not even funny. I'm just telling you the truth. Don't hate me for telling you the truth. We need to grow up. We need to be able to listen and recognize God's voice. You see, the problem with lies is that they drown out the truth of God's debt. And every lie we tell incurs a debt that one day we'll have to pay, hence the HBO miniseries Chernobyl. Lies are powerful. You tell a lie loud enough and long enough, and people, lock, stock, and barrel, will believe it. That's why we, of all people, need to have that third eye. We need to have that eye of wisdom, that eye of discernment. We need to filter everything we hear and everything that people tell us through the ultimate authority and final authority in our life, which is the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures, God's Word from Genesis to Revelation. We have to mute certain voices. Now, on that note, I didn't plan to say this, but a tragic event happened this past week. Some of you may not understand why I'm even going to mention this, but then again, you don't really know me. I'd like to get to know you. Hope you know that I love God and I love you. And I hope you understand my heart in saying this. But I want to take a moment and I want to pay tribute to a man that was an encouragement and a blessing in my life, and that's Rush Limbaugh. He was such a powerful voice for life, for liberty, and for love of country. Now, maybe he turned you off because you didn't like his brand of entertainment. I can understand that. But when you think about the content of what he said, I don't know that there was a more powerful voice in our country and in our world that spoke on behalf of the unborn with the massive influence and megaphone that he had that now has been silenced. And he'll be dearly missed. So number one, we have to learn to mute certain voices. Number two, we have to learn to listen more and speak less. Say that with me. Learn to listen more and speak less. Let's read James chapter 1, verse 19 out loud together. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Here's what's astounding to me on this Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John get the VIP pass to go up to this mountain, a high mountain, with Jesus. Moses and Elijah appear. How they recognized that it was Moses and Elijah? Well, that just tells you that when we're in the presence of God, when we're in heaven, we'll have complete knowledge and discernment. You will instantly know your loved ones and relatives that maybe you never met in this life when you get to heaven. Your great-grandmother, your great-great-grandfather that made it to heaven, you will recognize them. You'll recognize all the saints in heaven. So capture this moment. Peter, James, and John are there, and Moses and Elijah appear. They recognize them. Moses and Elijah are having a conversation with Jesus. Oh, I would have loved to have been a fly on the proverbial wall in that conversation on that day on that mountain. I would have loved to have recorded it. I would have loved to have recorded the voice of Moses so I could tell people, you want to hear Moses' voice? Listen to this. You want to hear Elijah's voice? You want to hear Jesus' voice? Hey, do you want to hear God's voice? Listen, this is awesome. This is my beloved son. I mean, God's got to speak with a deep voice, right? He doesn't speak like this. This is my beloved son, right? I would have loved to have recorded it. And in that moment, the Bible does have humor. Sometimes it is subtle, but the Bible does have humor. God does have a sense of humor, okay? So in that moment, the Bible records for us, Peter starts talking. Like, really, Peter? You know, when people are nervous, they start talking. Peter's afraid, he's scared, he's nervous. He says, hey, excuse me, guys, this is like really cool. I don't know where this idea came from. Why don't I build three tents? One for you, Moses, one for you, Elijah, and one for you, Jesus. Looks like you guys are going to be hanging out here for a while. I'll get busy and start. Like, what? Where'd that come from, Peter? And where are you going to get the material to build three shelters, right? And while Peter is speaking, slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to wrath. While Peter is speaking, a voice comes from the cloud, from heaven, and it's the voice of God. This is my beloved son. This is my beloved son who brings me great joy. Peter, listen to him. In other words, shut up. Zip it, Peter. And they fall down on the ground, faces to the ground. Next thing they know, Moses and Elijah are gone, and Jesus is back to normal, you know, his clothing is normal, his face is normal, and he touches them and says, don't you dare share this with anybody until after the resurrection. This moment had such a profound impact on Peter. Read 1 and 2 Peter. Peter refers to it. This changed Peter's life. This moment changed Peter's life. You know, there are three times that I have found in the Gospels where God spoke in an audible voice. Three times. The first time, where was it? Jordan River. The Lord's being baptized by John the Baptist, and a voice came down from heaven. This is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. This is the second time an audible voice of God was spoken. And in my last point, I'll share the third time that this happened. You know, we've become the Ask Siri generation. The average person today, when in doubt, they ask Siri. It's like Siri is the 21st century version of the Ouija board. People ask Siri all kinds of strange questions. She's even asked to predict and presume upon the future. So here's the problem. We can end up, if we're not careful, as Christ followers, we can end up treating God the same way too. We can make God into some glorified soothsayer instead of a savior. Seeking answers to our life's questions as though from some astrological chart. I mean, who needs God when you have Siri, right? That's the thought of today. And let me challenge all of us. If you talk to Siri, your phone, your artificial intelligence, more than you talk to God in a given day, I've just made my point, friend. We should be talking to God more than we're talking to any type of technology. Oh, and let me get a witness in the house of God. You see, Siri for Christians, S-I-R-I, Siri for Christians is spirit-involved revealed intimacy. And that only comes when we, number one, mute certain voices, and number two, learn to listen more and speak less, which means what? When you enter into God's presence, yes, there's a time to pray, and God does not interrupt. He's a gentleman. He listens to every word. Matter of fact, he knows what you're going to say before you even think it, before you even speak it, Isaiah tells us. God listens. As long as you're praying, God's listening. But then when you stop talking, it's your turn to listen and to allow God to start talking. And the only time we're going to hear God is if we stop talking and we just sit in his presence. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, just silence. Meditating on scripture, and then the Holy Spirit, God through the Holy Spirit, will begin to speak to you personally. It's one of the most incredible moments and things that can happen in your life. How do you know if it's God or the devil or yourself? Well, if it cheers you up, stirs you up, and builds you up, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 14, then you know it's from God. If it condemns you, if it brings fear, if it belittles you, that's not the voice of God. So you just have to discern voice, recognition, theology. You have to be able to recognize. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my voice. And you and I can become intimately acquainted, knowledgeable, and discerning of when the voice of Jesus is speaking in our lives. So number one, learn to mute certain voices. Number two, learn to listen more and speak less. And finally, number three, learn to recognize God's voice. I want to read John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 29. It says this: when the crowd heard the voice, some thought it was thunder, while others declared an angel had spoken to him. So here's the scene. This is the third time, by the way, that God, in an audible voice, spoke. Jesus, in John 12, was reflecting upon what was about to happen, his suffering and separation from the Father. And it weighed so heavy upon Jesus, he said, if it's possible for this to be accomplished any other way, is there? Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass before me. Nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. Was Jesus afraid of the suffering he was about to endure, basically the torture he was about to endure? No. It was knowing, according to Old Testament prophecy, and knowing because he was God in human form, the second member of the Holy Trinity, God the Son, that when he hung upon that cross and he became sin for the world, past, present, and future, he never sinned. He did not become sin in his heart. He did not become sin in his spirit. The sin of the world was placed upon his flesh. He became our substitute. And in that moment, for that brief moment, he was separated from the Father. The first time in all of eternity. It was at that moment as he hung on that cross that he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's the only time he referred to the Father as God in that moment. It's out of a prophecy from Psalms 22. Psalm 21, 22, 23 are messianic psalms that depict what happened prior to, leading up, and on the cross, and after the cross of Jesus Christ. Those three, and there are many other messianic chapters of the Bible in the Old Testament. Isaiah 53 is another one of them. This was a moment when he would be separated from the Father. And he said, if there's any other way, can we find that way? And God spoke audibly in that moment here in John 12, particularly verse 29. And when God spoke, the Father said, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. I have glorified you and I will glorify you again. And an audible voice. And the people that were there that day, they thought, did it just thunder? They couldn't recognize it. They couldn't discern it. To them, it sounded like thunder. Others, an angel must have spoken. No, friend. How cool would have been to have been there that day. It was God speaking. And then Jesus immediately said this. He said, immediately, here's what Jesus said. That just didn't happen for me. That didn't just happen for my benefit, but your benefit. In other words, I know the Father. I trust the Father. I've depended on the Father. He's always with me. He'll always be with me. I did not need him to speak in an audible voice to encourage me in any way, because I already know the Father speaks to me daily. He did that for your benefit, not my benefit. And what that means, child of God, for us is God can perform miracles, and he does. Thank the Father when he does. But Jesus said, a wicked and perverse generation seeks after miracles. You and I don't need to see a miracle to build our faith. We already know him. We already love him. We already believe in him. We already trust him. And if he does a miracle, it's more for your benefit than it is for my benefit. I don't need that to confirm my faith. I have faith in God. And second of all, I would love to hear God's audible voice. 40-plus years walking with Jesus, I have never heard the audible voice of God. And you, my friend, it can happen. But if you hear the audible voice of God regularly in your life, I have a wonderful Christian psychiatrist I would love for you to call. I'm just saying. Because it's a rare, rare occurrence. Now, it would be awesome if it did happen. But listen, we've got something better than the audible voice of God. We have the voice of God speaking to us through the revelation of Scripture, Genesis to Revelation. And every day, God can personally speak to you by his Spirit through the Word. Hallelujah. Praise God. The power of God's voice. Being able to recognize his voice, distinguish his voice, hear his voice, and then obey his voice. Now, those of us that do try to work with Siri every now and then, we know how difficult it is for her to understand, especially me. Please give me directions to such and such a place. When I talk like that, she gets it. When I talk normal, I'm like, sorry, I didn't get that. Like, what's wrong with you? She needs an upgrade. But sometimes, I think it's like God saying, did you hear me? Do I need to speak any slower? You know, like God has already spoken. And we need to accept and receive that by faith and then train ourselves to learn how to distinguish God's voice. Listen, I was raised Catholic. I thank God for my Catholic heritage. It put the fear of God in me. But I didn't get saved until after that experience. And I got born again, filled with the Spirit. And I was raised in a charismatic church, like a Pentecostal charismatic upbringing. There's probably no one in here that believes more in the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as I do. Listed in 1 Corinthians 12, all 9 supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. I pray in the Spirit every day. I believe in the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, discerning spirits. I believe in the gift of faith and gift of working of miracles and the gift of healings. I believe in tongues, prophecy, interpretation of tongues. And I believe in the gift of prophecy. But something that has grieved me through the years is that so many Christians, they live their life based on a prophetic word, and it can happen. And if it does, thank God. But you shouldn't seek after some prophetic word. What do I mean by that? Because this might be new to some of you in your faith experience, your faith tradition, is somebody will come up to you, usually a stranger, says, I have a word from the Lord for you, thus says the Lord, and they'll say something that's prophetic in nature and actually reveals something that maybe nobody else knew but you and God, and you're like, whoa, what just happened? That's awesome. And that can encourage you, it can edify you, it can build you up, and there's nothing wrong with it, and when it's from God, it's a beautiful moment. But the danger is when you're seeking it out, when your faith is fully defined. And I've heard people say, I can't wait till I get that next prophetic word. I'm going to go hear this speaker because he or she operates in the prophetic. And I'm like, okay, if it happens, great. But why seek it? You have something more. You have Peter said, a more sure word of prophecy. It's right here in God's holy Bible. And every morning you can wake up and open up the scriptures and God will speak to you by his Spirit. Hallelujah. And you can personalize it and you can internalize it. But the question is, when he speaks to us, are we discerning it? Are we voice recognition theology? Are we able to separate the voice of the enemy or our own voice or the voice of our internal critic, the voice of the saboteur, the voice of your mom or your grandmother or your father, the voice of your boss or the voice of some mean person at work? And then here, oh, there it is. That's the voice of Jesus. And we train ourselves to hear him speak. I'll end with a story and a hymn. A story of a grandfather with his grandson one day. They're walking down a busy downtown city. And, you know, the hustle and bustle of traffic and horns and sirens and people talking and noise everywhere. And all of a sudden, the grandfather stops dead in his tracks. And he begins to listen. And the grandson is wondering what granddad is doing. And all of a sudden, he walks over to this coffee shop. And there's a flower crate in front of this coffee shop with some flowers in it, a planter. And he begins to pull back some of the flowers, and lo and behold, there's these little chicks, these little birds in there chirping away, crying for mama for food. And the grandson was amazed, like, hey, granddad, how did you hear all this noise going on? How did you hear those little baby chicks? He said, that's what I was listening for, grandson. He said, watch this. And granddad reached his hand in his pocket, and he goes, you know, old people carry a lot of change. And that's how you know you're old. If you carry change, you've got change in your pocket, you're old. But anyway, he reached in his pocket, and he pulled out a handful of change, and he dropped it on the sidewalk. And everybody in a close vicinity stopped, looked, and wanted to go start picking up that money. And he said, see, that's the difference, son. Some people are trained to hear certain things, but not other things. We need to train ourselves to hear the Master's voice and to hear when he is speaking. Let's thank the Lord. Amen. I want to end with this famous hymn written in 1913. It's called The Voice of God is Calling, It Summons Unto Men. The author was John Haynes Holmes. Listen to this hymn. The voice of God is calling, a summons unto all. As once they heard in Zion, so now we hear the call. Whom shall I send to succor my people in their need? Whom shall I send to loosen the bonds of shame and greed? I hear my people crying in cot and mine and slum. No field or mart is silent, no city street is dumb. I see my people falling in darkness and despair. Whom shall I send to shatter the fetters which they bear? We heed, O God, thy summons and answer, here are we. Send us upon thine errand, let us thy servants be. Our strength is dust and ashes, our years a passing hour, but thou canst use our weakness to magnify thy power. In the final verse, from ease and plenty save us, from pride of place absolve, purge us of low desire, lift us to high resolve, take us and make us holy. Teach us thy will and way. Speak, and behold, we answer. Command, and we obey. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. Father, you have spoken through your word. May my words fall on deaf ears. May your word find a home in our heart. And Lord, each of us, those in person and those online, we just take this moment to say, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me in my life today through this message? May I begin today to be a doer and not just a hearer of the word. And may I be able to hear and discern the Master's voice speaking to me through this message today. Lord, thank you for giving me and giving all of us ears to hear and hearts to receive and perceive the word of the Lord for our lives. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or those of you watching online, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. You see, your sins have separated you from God, and God loves you, and God wants to be in relationship with you, and God wants you to spend eternity with him in heaven. But until you repent of your sin and accept Christ, God's gift of salvation, heaven will not be your eternal home. And I want to lead you in a prayer, and the rest of this congregation will pray this prayer with you. If you so choose, it's your choice to choose life, to choose blessing, to choose heaven, to choose forgiveness, to choose Christ. Some of you here today, you need to rededicate your life to Jesus. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer as though you're praying it for the very first time. And for you, it becomes just a prayer of repentance, asking for forgiveness so that you can be restored in your fellowship with the Lord. Here we go. Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. I call upon you, Jesus. I ask you now, come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I turn from sin to the true and living God.
I receive His love, His grace, and His forgiveness. Dear God in heaven, You're now my Father, and I am Your child. Fill me now with Your Holy Spirit and give me strength to live for You and serve You all the days of my life, beginning today for the rest of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's thank the Lord together, church family. We love You.